Sausage on air. We are here Monday nights, 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. or so. I guess when it's 2:30. Fuck it, we're going overtime. We're here with Dalen
Poland.
Just like Dalen Poland, just like the country. He just told me that. But marijuana affects his short-term memory, folks. It really does. I actually totally disagree. I just couldn't fucking remember. Dalen Poland, how are you doing?
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Good to hear, good to hear.
If you get my groove.
Yeah, I definitely do. I am very excited to have you here. You were a spontaneous guest. You happened to be walking down the street?
I was kind of just walking home, but...
Just walking down the street, we're bringing you live
found
here
these,
at Mutiny Radio.
Found these crazy kids on my way home. Thought I'd stop in for a little impromptu.
Yeah, that was...
powwow.
That's very nice. So you are a chef?
Bartender.
A bartender.
Carpenter. DJ. Extraordinaire.
So you're like the greatest Jesus ever invented. You're a carpenter and a bartender.
Pretty much.
Who could get any better? Now I know where the red wine comes from at church. Not that I go to church, but you know what I'm talking about.
Do you? Comes from my palm.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's Palm Sunday.
It bleeds out of my palm.
It was,
you know?
Super Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, whatever.
Is it Sunday or Monday? What day is
it?
What's going on right now?
If you want to get technical, it's Tuesday morning. Yeah. Here on our radio show, we love to bring in special guests, especially off the street. Can you tell me the restaurant that you are finally representing here?
Asiento, which is steps away from the studio.
Awesome.
It's the Mission Neighborhood Bar. The Black Hole, if you will.
The Black Hole? How did it get that nickname?
Well, there's basically a black hole painted on the corner of 21st and Bryant, if you've never
You're
been there.
You're telling me there's a black hole painted on the wall?
That's what it is. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
It's steps away from the studio.
Don't know if I remember seeing it.
You've probably walked by it.
I have seen it.
You've walked by it probably fucking...
probably many times.
Every day.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your menu. What do you do there anyway? You bartend, I guess. What about the chef?
Chefs are amazing. Tapas all fucking day. Late night,
late
night
tapas. Did
you say
topless?
Hopefully.
Did you say topless?
I mean, as a bartender, that's kind of how the...
For appetizers?
That's how the night ends, topless.
Awesome.
Obviously.
All right, I know he said tapas, which is... if, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to say Spanish What do you call it?
Small plates.
Yeah, small plates in Spain. Yes, small plates in Spain. Sorry for our, obvious. Miseducation or ignorance, something like that. And also, sorry for our broken cable. Anyway, the topless bar here.
Topless.
Topless, yes.
Are topless. I'm topless. It is. And our host is making me a little bit weird. He's topless now, too. So.
It is 2.
What the fuck's going on?
And we are all topless. Topless. And it comes with hummus. Is that right? Topless with a side order of hummus.
You've been there.
I have.
You're
definitely.
You're lying.
Been there.
You're lying to me. You've been there before.
I am the best liar you've ever met in life. It's true. So, can you tell me, what's your music selections for the night? What do you like to hear?
What can I download in like 30 seconds? More of a, like, a funky house DJ. I keep it deep.
You keep it deep. Ooh.
I keep it funky. I make you dance.
You make it dance. I'm sorry for our technical microphone difficulties.
I definitely fucking will keep you dancing.
Would you like to keep us dancing now? We're going to talk a little more, but while we're talking.
Like Australian. No, I'm from Alabama.
Boy, so it's basically a depressing.
Yep. But so where did you, where was the first time you got up on stage?
It was really close to here.
Really?
Yeah, it was at like a private party for a friend's who owns the boxing gym over on Harrison.
I had on my list, I needed to give myself a haircut, but I figured that while I was, looking in the mirror and giving a haircut to my. First time here.
So April of 2019 is
now, right?
We are back in action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you show any of them a tape of them running?
That's, oh, and Bryce Drusden, and he hasn't been, he did comedy for years and years and years with me, but he's been out of the loop, and so this is his first time back.
Busted into pieces. I was just talking to Pam Benjamin, the proprietress.
I'd be okay with like blue crabs, because then we could just, I don't know, what's the cure for that? Dipping them in butter? Is it?
And you listen to the podcast and watch the movie at the same time.
Yeah. LWAFLMOIT.
Ridiculous issues like. Kids or parents, which is better? Cake or pie, which is better? And it's funny and it's entertaining and you get some beers.
And she is.
I loved the idea of a Spanglish mic. I thought it was such a great idea.
Yeah, I've.
Helping the city with gambling.
drizzle, drizzly-assed rain. Okay, well, so this, you know, I wanted to dive into your stand-up material that I heard you. Because when I first heard you at Muni Radio here, it was probably a joke workshop on a Monday. And you were talking a lot about fashion, so that makes sense now that I know that you work in fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go for about another 20 minutes. What do you think? I say let's rock out, baby. That was awesome, right? Yeah, yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's always
sorry
awesome.
For the technical difficulties with our microphone.
His microphone.
Because
right.
He won't fucking stop touching it.
Ah, yes. Fucking we're back. Nut.
Bozo.
Bozo the clown.
You, motherfucker. What? What are you looking for? What do you want?
I don't know, I think I want some music from you.
Oh, you want some music from me? Alright, let's play some music. Let's see what I can get. I got some good shit.
What do you
shit,
got
man.
For us? You got a little hip hop? Shoulder bar.
I got a little hip hop, a little bit of old school. We rock with some old school.
So we had some interesting guests. We had Roger Dodger. We had what the fuck was his name again? Palin? No.
No, that was funny. That was hilarious. No, that was Elvis.
No, we had Elvis.
That was Elvis.
Who was our other guest? Random walker down the street. Palin.
Poland, like the country.
Poland, that's right.
Yeah, I like the country.
It was something Poland. Anyway, yeah, like check his shit out. He's a great electronic DJ.
Hold on, I'm still looking.
Take your time.
Give me an R!
R!
Give me an O!
O!
Give me a C!
C!
Give me a K!
K!
Give me a Y!
Y!
What's it spell?
Fucking!
I can't hear you!
Fucking!
One more time!
Fucking!
I'd like to wish a warm welcome to all you virgins!
Let's watch a full-length movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman. Mike Spiegelman. Oh, Mike Spiegelman. Mike Spiegelman. Oh, Mike Spiegelman. Hey! Mike Spiegelman. Mike Spiegelman. Mike Spiegelman. Mike Spiegelman.
LLLLWWAAAFFFLLLL. Almost there. Oh, welcome to Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman and Carl. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Mike. We can YouTube if you want to. We can leave our friends behind. Yeah.
My friend's you.
My friend's you, Mike. I'm going to leave you behind.
Pew!
Pew! I love them without hats. Welcome to the show. We are going to watch a full-length movie on YouTube with you. Let us do it. You can follow us on our podcast, LWAFLMOYT. Always bring that up front. Yeah. Love to say that we are streaming right now on mutinyradio.fm, as we do first on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Mutinyradio.fm has a lot of great programming, a lot of long-running live comedy shows, as well as community shows. So check them out. Donate to their Venmo at Mutiny Radio. Check out the website, find a new show, follow their podcast as well.
Yeah.
We're excited to be on it. Carl, what is the movie we're watching today?
We are watching Thunderground, 1989. Thunderground. So it's the word thunder and then the word ground as one word, because it's underground.
This is a pun, Carl. We're entering pun territory, right? No, it's a portmanteau. He took thunder and underground and combined it, right? This is what Humpty Dumpty was telling Alice during Through the Looking Glass. Oh, we've gone through the looking glass. All right, Thunderground, 1989. Go ahead and type it in. And Carl, who's hosting the movie?
We like the channel Draven. Draven.
When I saw that this movie was on Draven's channel, I just said, that is so Draven.
That's so Draven. That's why I subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Subscribe to Draven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's the deal. We want you to go ahead and find Thunderground 1989. It's on a channel hosted by Draven. When you find it, click the link and then immediately hit pause right there. And then fiddle with the timer. Right now I'm trying to fiddle with my mobile phone. And then hit pause and move the timer to 000. Carl has scoured the world, and he found himself a celebrity comedian.
Right.
From which exit this week?
This week it will be from New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Which exit? Is that what you said?
How rude of me. That's so rude of me.
Exit 146 on the parkway. Yeah.
146 out of the parkway. Fair enough.
It's a great exit. Lots of good, I like the mayor of that exit.
You know, I believe that exit has a Arby's and a Chevron and a Roy Rogers off of it.
I know you're right, because every exit in Jersey does.
Yeah, and the Howard Johnson's. Okay, it's back in the day. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited to have this comedian who I'm not aware of, but I'm now a fan of, introduce the movie. When they say go ahead and click go, and then I'll be back. But Carl, take it away.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back once again to the Celebrity Comedian Countdown, this time with Carl C. Kellan. Hey, Carl.
What's going on?
Well, the first thing I wanted to raise, we see each other around the open mic scene. I'm up north, you're down south, but we bump into each other. I really thought we were name buddies. Turns out your name is Mike. This is a stage name. How did that come about?
I don't know. It's like I was talking to my friend one day, and we started going back and forth doing our old, like, Willie Loman voice. We loved Death of a Salesman with Dustin Hoffman, because we just thought he was, I don't know. I don't know if it's a good performance, like, literarily or whatever it's called, but he was just so weird and over the top. Like, Lee J. Cobb played him, like, miserable, angry guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin Hoffman, we just thought was hilarious. So, I don't know. So this is like a lot of time later. We're just bullshitting back and forth, talking like this voice. And we started calling each other Carl and Cal, because we thought it was funny that their names were basically like one letter off, but they were best friends. And I just started doing the voice on stage, so I kind of just became Carl all the time.
And it was born. Gotcha. I think your accent sounds like a North Jersey, you know, like a Brooklyn accent. Am I wrong on that?
Kearney, New Jersey. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And also all wrapped up within your persona is his attitude and the hats you wear. Where did these hats come from?
I don't know. Just I started in the winter and I was always cold. Mm-hmm, and I get when I get nervous and cold, it's just worse for me. So I just said to myself, I'm just going to like cover myself. And I never wore like a hat like this in my life, to be honest. Like I used to play baseball and would occasionally like wear a baseball hat or something like outside of it. But I don't know. I just started doing it almost as like a little like just something to like loosen myself up. Just going like I look like a fucking asshole. You know, just to like get out of my own head a little bit and like fight the nerves. And then it just became like I don't really perform without one.
Now, recently, Richard Dweck gave me the sad news that the Brighton Bar is closed down. I know you were a big part of that scene there. Every time I've ever gone down there, it's a, like an hour and a half drive for me, but I just want to be in front of strangers. And there you are. What is your take on this place closing down?
I was just as like surprised as everybody. Just really sad about it because like you're saying, like we developed a pretty good thing over the last few years with Angelo running the open mic. And then on Tuesday, I don't know if you ever came on a Tuesday. Did you ever come to like Mad Lee's mixed mic?
I guess I didn't. I guess I was just there for the open mic.
Yeah, on Tuesday nights there was a mixed mic. So you could do music and stuff, but you know, so I do like poetry or comedy still. And so yeah, it was like Monday, Tuesday, and then Brian had Thursday. I was there like 3-4 nights a week recently.
Yeah.
So when they, you know, when they suddenly like closed, it was just I don't know. I'm still getting my head around it because I like my mind and my fucking like a creature of habit. Like it just doesn't feel right. It's like when high school baseball ended. And the spring came, and I was like, aren't I supposed to go and do something at this time?
It's time for practice, right? What's going on? Yeah. It's like a vacuum. It's a piece of local history. Well, we'll see what happens, but I guess it's going away. So now they roasted you there. They did a Carl C. Callan roast. How did that come about?
We did it in August 2019, so I would say like a few months before that. I started to say on stage because I'd always be drunk. I thought it was funny that Dan Caprio would do a open mic at his house, and you had to like DM him for the address because it was like his home address. And I didn't know at the time. I had like was basically new in comedy, and I just thought it was funny that it was like DM me for the address. So one night after a set, I just said, "We're having a roast of me here. Dan Caprio's the roast master. If you want information, you got to DM him." And then enough people like followed up and asked me about it. So then we just, you know, we asked Brighton and they gave us a date with like plenty of time to promote. So we just kind of like went nuts and just tried to like promote it and just constantly say it and like hype it up. And it turned out like, yeah, there was like, I don't know, man, maybe like 20 performers. And I think it was like, I don't know, 60 or 80 audience. There might have been like 100 total. It was like it ended up being like a really like unexpectedly pretty like well attended, and the performances were great, so it ended up being really good. But it came out of nowhere. I didn't know what to do, like what kind of show do you have. And I was like, roast battles are like the new thing, but maybe just because Carl isn't like real, but some people know, but some people don't, and I'm such a fucking weirdo, I was like, maybe we can kind of sell it and people are like get into the concept of doing the old-fashioned, like, you know, one guy getting roasted, which then turns into like a roast of everybody, which is, you know, the goal normally. So it
that
worked
really
out.
That's really cool. I mean, it just was born out of happenstance with that DM me, and it was born on stage with a sentence. That is really cool. Now, the most exciting thing, though, recently is this new audiobook podcast, right? Balls. Tell us about that and where people can find it.
Balls. We put out the first episode on Spotify. And I think, I mean, we did it through Anchor, and we're trying to get onto as many platforms as possible. So I think it's like iTunes and Apple Podcasts it might be on, or it might take, but Spotify is definitely on. And yeah, I've just been sitting on this idea for a while. I was stoned out of my mind, and I'm rambling about, like, everything you see is like people are making ball shaped like novelty foods on like BuzzFeed, and like, I don't know, like every video I saw on Facebook at the time, it was just like, chicken porn bowl, cheesesteak bowl. And I just said, like, it would be a good fucking idea for a business to just make everything in ball shape. So it's all uniform. There's, right. You know, it's the same packaging. It's the same, like, little baskets of balls.
So it's the name of the restaurant then.
Yeah, the character's name is Michael Ball, because at the time, it's like, in the story, it's 2016, 2017. It's the beginning of, like, cancel culture. And everybody's kind of like, nobody's going to go for that. Like,
yeah.
That, like, joke of like, oh, eat balls, or like balls in your mouth. And he's like, it's my name. My last name is Ball. How could you tell somebody you can't have your restaurant named? So, and it just went from there. And I could never figure out how to tell the story. Yeah. So it just popped into my head one day. I was like, there's this thing called Shit Town or S Town or whatever podcast. And I never thought I'd like something like it, but I found myself listening to these like 1 hour episodes of investigative journalism and interviews, and it was interesting. So I was just like, you know, I've been sitting on these like 800 notebooks of notes on this story that I can't seem to write and tell fully. So I just asked Tim one day, I was like, you want to read a couple pages of a thing and see if you want to like come at it from a different angle? So we just pushed it into the future. So in the story, it's 2045.
Oh, so that's really good that this is finally coming to fruition. And to name your restaurant that takes balls. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so we're going to get ready to watch this full-length movie on YouTube with the audience. So, Carl, why don't you go and count us down?
All right. We're getting the wild. Get ready. You ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Wow, that was a great celebrity comedian. Thank you, Carl.
I do appreciate it.
Yeah. New Jersey at Law. Oh, look at this. Rose and Ruby's Attorney at Law presents.
Attorney at Law.
Paul Confucius.
Yeah. Confucius say, arg, grunt. Confucius say, pug, oof.
Thunderground.
Thunderground.
Portmanteau.
You hear this bluesy music?
Why is M.M. Walsh third billed?
Because William he doesn't Mason. Hardly do anything, and that guy will take any role, and don't forget it's 1989.
So you know the story about him in Blood Simple.
No.
He told the Coen brothers, I'll be in this movie, but you pay me in cash.
Uh-huh.
They bring this up in the DVD commentary and stuff. And so he did the movie because they paid him in cash, because he had no faith. And then he said that he was only able to appear in one other Joel and Ethan Coen movie, Raising Arizona, in the beginning. And he said, if he only trusted him more, maybe he would have been a regular. But he did. It was kind of legendary that he wanted cash up front. So maybe he got cash off of this.
This was that was the Coen brothers' first film ever, and it was really quite independent. And he won the Independent Spirit Award for Best Male Lead. Emmett Walsh did from that movie.
Well, yeah, he got a lot more than cash then. He got
Okay, what we're seeing here is like a hobo camp in Tennessee.
Oh, sure, this must be the Tennessee Hobo Junction.
Yeah, this is that's right, Mike. You must know someone there. It's the Tennessee Hobo Junction. And
well, I know not sound stereotypical, but there's Shoeless Joe. Yeah.
Now this is Casey, and he is doing Three Card Monty, and
he's grifting the hobos.
Yeah, he is pretty much grifting. He paid someone to win, you know, gave him $20. Sure. Yeah, so that would make it seem like people can win, and now he's taking. Sorry, Grandma, another day. Now you see the cards are Camel cigarettes. It's the print's not so good.
It's Camel Cash that he buys those Camel. Camel cards.
You know, as I look back, Camel was so geared towards children. They had the cartoons and the comic books, and yeah, like the Camel Cash. Like, oh, I get to keep a, you know, it's like a decoder ring or something. You know, it's like a Cracker Jacks box.
So you're saying that the Camel Cash that you got from your packages of Camel cigarettes from the late 80s, early 90s, and then you bought off items off your catalog, was the same thing as Grit magazine advertisements in the back of cartoons. Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
It was a scam to get children to try cigarettes and be excited and enthusiastic about them at a young, you know, at an age so that they would have a customer for life, you know.
Have you ever been in a bar where you met someone who was promoting cigarettes?
Yes. Yes. It's so funny.
What was your experience?
Well, it would just be a young person who you thought was just at the bar, and they would talk to you about, do you smoke? And you, you know, and they... Would you like to try the, yeah, I've been there. It was at two or three times at the Boiler Room in Garfield, New Jersey, when I had the open mic there on Tuesday.
Nice. They hit up the host. That is so great. They're really with it.
Now, somebody called Casey out. So she.
Oh, he can't. She can't do it through Card Monty.
No, she proved that she wasn't cheating him. And then she, he walked off because he knew that the heat was on. The heat was on.
Right. It was on the street.
The heat was on. Da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. Now, the guy on the right was in Blade Runner, but you might know him from Newhart.
Right, sure. He's Daryl or no.
Yes. Kenneth W. Roberts is his name. I really know him pretty much from Blade Runner. He was pretty good in that.
So Blade Runner, he falls in love with Daryl Hannah, or he built Daryl Hannah, and Daryl Hannah kicks his ass, right? And he wears like floppy, raggedy and shit.
I just want to say for the record that that is a gross oversimplification, but in court I would have to say to the attorney, yes, that is accurate.
All right, let the record stand. no further testimony, Your Honor. He played like a floppy
witness.
She's like, I'm gonna kill you. He's like, oh, okay.
Well, he was the assistant to the big CEO who made all of the replicants, and he was part of designing them and stuff. And remember, he had all his little robots at home. Hello, Jimmy. What was his name? Hi, fellas.
Okay, his name was like Future PD or something like that. Hello, Future PD. Oh, hello, fella. Oh, so here's the hobos. We're back in the
well. Past. Okay, what happened is the guy who she gave the 20 to, you know, the guy she paid for pretending to win, he was running away with $20. You know, with her $20. So Casey was sharp and he caught her. Oh, who's this dude?
Is this the other celebrity?
Holy cow, he must be Bird, the hero, the second hero of our movie. Ouch! Bird, ouch, he jumped off a train.
Is he free as a bird? This is like classic rock movie right here.
He is free as a bird. There's Casey. I got your pack.
Oh, right.
He goes, he is like, we think that she is a boy right now. So he is like, why did you jump off the train when it stops in a mile up the track?
Is she trying to pretend to be a hobo boy?
Yeah, if you're a girl in the hobo scene, as I was for many years, you're vulnerable. You have something that men want. And it's kind of lawless, you know? So if you pretend you're a boy, which I did for many years there, you're safer because guys don't want to, you know, if they see a girl, it's on. If they see a guy, you know, it's like 80-20. Okay,
now, Carl, would you do that again or are you just totally no hobo?
No, I'm going to sleep outside tonight, but hey, no hobo. No hobo, okay? Let's all sleep right outside tonight, Mike. But no hobo.
Now our audience can hear who writes this joke down first.
It sounds like the next open mic.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
I'm writing it down. No hobo.
No hobo. I think you beat it. Damn it.
Yeah. All right. I got to find a Zoom open mic after this.
Okay, so the guy from Blade Runner, the guy from Newhart, they were going to do a fight, but his guy's kind of chickened out and hasn't shown up, and he's got a lot of money riding on it. He's taking bets. So Bird just jumped off a train and fell into Casey's lap. So Casey's like, hey, here's a chance for me to make some money. I got a man, old fat Joe man.
You got a what? I got a man.
What your man got to do with me? I ain't trying to hit as me.
Oh, I have a man. Oh, yeah, I don't believe you. Look, he's already shirtless. Oh, fuck. No, his shirt's back on. His shirt popped back
You on. Think you could fight that big lug over there? I can fight.
Good, Sanderson.
Now, look, I think this movie started wrong as a writer. I think that the movie should have started with 5 minutes of the backstory of how Bird got on the road, how he was a prize fighter, how he didn't take a fall when the, you know, when the mob put pressure on him, and how they ruined his life and he had to run.
Right.
But they don't do that.
It's his mysterious backstory that's told during the second act, third act.
It is. It's his backstory that's dribbled out, but not 100%. But I mean, it would put some realism to this film. I mean, we would have a reason that he's a bum and a drunk. You know, we'd find out that it just happened a week ago, you know?
Right.
It would be some reason. Also, he would become the hero of the movie. Really, Casey is the hero. It's their story together, and they're both the heroes, but it starts with Casey.
Is Casey the manager? Like, is Casey, like, providing, like, these fights for him?
Right. Casey's like, you stick with me, kid. We're going to fight the man, and I'll tell you all about that.
This has been a lot of movies of like bare fighting, you know, bare knuckle fighting. Like fighting. Have you ever seen that movie, Terrence Howard? IMG.
Does it really gild the lily and call itself fighting?
Yeah, it does. Tatum. O'Neal. He plays like a really good bare knuckle fighter, and there's an underground fighting ring that Terrence Howard leads him through. And it's, you know, these films are great because they're so nihilistic. Like, it's such a end to the end.
Ouch! 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 Your fake punches really hurt!
Oh, I think these are like real good boilermakers, Carl, I believe the term. In the sweet science of boxing.
It's clearly like a gas fire. Look how cold it is.
I know, like, Street Fighter has more realistic fighters in the background. Mortal Kombat has better fighters in the background. Round two. Oh, I haven't said that all yet during this movie. Are you ready? Get ready. Bye.
What was that called again?
This Street Fighter, and there's, like, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, okay. Porno Kombat.
Dead for a lot. Porno Kombat.
Porno Kombat. I got another open... Right?
Oh, I'll write that down. Hey,
at least I beat you this
time. All right.
Okay, so he wins the fight. He wins the fight.
Yes.
But Casey had taken all bets against, okay? So therefore, when it doesn't pay off, she tries to run. Okay, so all the people are going to, you know, she ran off with all the money. I tell you, that's the hobo world, man. You just can't make a square deal. It's like, if you put some money in my hand, I'm going to disappear.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in a hobo junction betting on illegal bare knuckle fighting, and it winds up being a scam. You know, there's no dignity to it.
Now, they caught
up with... I'm betting on illegal...
Okay, look, your yapping made us miss her boobs, okay? We just missed the only boobs in the movie. They find out she's a girl because her tits came out. So now they're like, you know... Give us our money. And then she's like, I can't because I just don't have enough to pay all the bets I took. And then they're like, well, we could work it out in another form of payment, and Bird will save her from getting raped. Bird will pretend like, I get her first. I did the fighting.
All right. Oh, wow.
Rescue.
And then you hear, I'm just joking. They walk around the other train. Don't let him hear, but I'm just teasing. Let's go. Oh, but she doesn't know that yet.
She's finding it out right this moment. But yeah, you're right. When she was getting tugged along, she didn't know for a sec. She thought it was his turn. Conceal that boob, would you?
Yeah, gotta cover that boob up. That caused everything. She's like Yentl Hobo. Hobo Yentl.
Hobo Yentl, that's right. Hobo Yentl.
I don't think if you can. All right, let's come up with a joke and we'll see who can write it down first.
Yeah, but I don't know if people would know Yentl today. We certainly do. They might think it's that lentil, the vegetarian, you know, this. Oh, yeah, Yentl soup. I love that.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's really high in protein. What are you talking about?
Now, look, she just lost all
her money.
Yeah, and they're like, fucking victory. And
well, that's good. That means they're done, right?
What we have now is like a sudden implied partnership that hasn't been sealed yet, you know?
Right.
Like, she arranged the fight, and oh, there's somebody else in the train. Why, it's another hobo. This lets us know that it's a hobo world. This is all fake, man.
I know it's a hobo world.
Listen, in the 1930s, during Depression era, for about 8 years, there was a hobo culture. That went away. There are no traveling hobo gypsies in this world anymore.
I make pies and they put a little marking outside my house of like pies and like a little angel mark to let them know that, you know, decent person.
Right. But yeah, look at cool.
Yeah, well, I lost a bundle on Bindles, you know, that hobo fan just went right down.
Yeah, what we used to do, we used to take a kerchief and do it into a trifold, and we would hang it on a stick.
So
carry it on our shoulder. Yeah, it looked like a Norman Rockwell painting.
So, Carl, when you were young and you were like, that's it, I'm going to run away from home, did you, like, build yourself a bindle? Like, got a handkerchief and put, like, your underwear?
That's what prevented me from, that's what prevented me from actually hitting the road. I spent about 3 nights trying to figure out how to fold it. We didn't have Google.
Oh, you know, you had to either be a hobo or a Boy Scout.
So after, on the fourth day, I was like, fuck it. I'll stay here. It's dinner time now. I'm not mad as much anymore. I'll just stay.
Yeah. Oh, that was crisis averted. The bindle works in any form. The bindle is great when you're carrying stuff. Or is he playing the Jew's harp? Jaw harp?
The jaw harp. Why do they call it that?
It's called the Jew's harp.
It sounds racist. Why do they call it that?
I don't know, but I've also seen it listed as a jaw harp.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Yeah, bang, 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 bang. Snoopy did it that one time. Now, look, I've played that thing.
You know what? It was really annoying, but you gotta let it go. Cut Snoopy some slack. You keep bringing it up. Yes, Snoopy played the jaw harp.
Yes, well, he did. And then one time I was playing it, and it hit my teeth. The thing vibrates, you see. You pluck it, and it goes on.
Oh, yeah.
And then you make it from your mouth, opening and closing. Yeah, and it hurt my – I never played it again. It hit my teeth, and I was like, ah! You know, I was like – if you have a toothache or something, it goes into your brain, you know, like into the skull.
Yeah, sure.
That's what happened. I got hit. Yeah, like, you know, when you have an ice, a brain freeze when you drink something cold, it was worse. Oh, no, it was that plus electricity.
A metal thing hits your tooth. Look, it's the audience on my Zoom show. Mac, I haven't started. I have this new joke about no hobo. Oh, I guess the room's empty. All right.
We never did do that Zoom mic, did we?
Oh, no. Well, you know.
Easter passed over, got in our way. We'll say we'll do it later, and then we just forgot about it.
Well, next pandemic, let's do it.
Next pandemic? Okay. Perfect. Typhoid Mary. Okay, so they both jumped off the train, right? And like I said, there was an implied partnership, but it hasn't been sealed, you know? Nobody made anybody any offer. Nobody did any agreement. So they're kind of, he believes, off on their own. But she tags along. I don't know why I don't see her yet.
He bought booze, right?
Yeah, he's a drunk. He's a closet drunk, but it's not in the closet for very long. She just found out. So,
you know,
this is the scene in which we'll have the deal get struck. And he, like, see, in Louisiana, in New Orleans, there is somebody called The Man, who happens to be Jesse Ventura.
What, and, really?
Yeah. And... you can,
I saw his name in the credit. I did not connect it. It would be the Jesse Ventura.
He's our, I don't know if the word is villain, because he's not very villainous, but he's our thing to defeat. He's our, this is really a battle with himself and herself, but he represents that. They're going to the big fight. This is the way the fight goes. Nobody knows about it. There's an arena of his choosing. There's no rounds. It's bare knuckle, and you fight to the death. Okay.
What?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Bare knuckle? Are you for real? Oh, what was the last name?
He will give you 10. Nobody's ever beaten him. Everyone he's ever fought has died that night.
Right. Jesse Ventura.
Because he's the man. He will give you 10 times what you put up. If you put up $1,000, you'll win $10,000. This guy is rich, rich, rich. If you put up $100,000, he will pay you $1 million.
So, and if he kills you, will he kill himself? Or no, wait, what does he win? The fact that he killed you?
And your $100,000. But he doesn't seem to care about it, and we'll talk about it when we get there, because it's not really a spoiler. It ruins the... Well, anyway, I'll just tell you when we get there. He fights. He doesn't really care about the money. It's very clear. He fights for a low amount of money.
He just likes killing people.
I guess, yes. Okay, so they've hitched a ride, and what we're seeing now is it's life on the road. And Casey's made a promise. She's going to get them to New Orleans, be his, like, they never say manager, but, like, get him fights and stuff. So they can get enough money to have a bounty for this thing. So now they're meeting. Hey, folks, how you doing? And we learn, like, we're sister and brother, and he is a prize fighter. And
so you folks smell like shit. Are you guys, like, on the road and jumping out of trains and shit?
Yeah. You were in a scrape last night. Look at
did
that.
You, bruise. Man. I'm going to have to wash my car down with a hose to get the snake off of you fellas.
Now, this is Canada. It's all filmed in Canada. And I think that they're not, you know, they're trying to be Tennessee. Or, you know, they're trying to be the South. So you see the gun. You see his cowboy hat. You see he's in a pickup.
Oh, that's South to me.
Yeah, it's South to Canada.
South of Canada. Oh, okay. It's America. South of Canada.
Yeah, south of, what? No, it's, yeah, America is south of Canada, yeah. So here, outside of a bar, is like a mobile chapel. It's a priest. A reverend or something. And
is this
trying to get people not to go in.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, yes, the service is inside there, yes, on Sundays.
Oh, keep on trucking. That's a great idea. Except for COVID.
Right? Would you like to go around the country and spread the word of the Lord with me? I could rent a truck. Okay, so as soon as the cowboy finds out that Bird fights for money, he was all of a sudden like, boy, I'm getting myself mighty parched, mighty thirsty. How about a beer? I'll buy you one. And basically, we're going to get a fight arranged.
Wow. What a coincidence that the ride like hooked them up already.
Yeah,
must
right.
Be like a,
it's a movie.
The hobo and underground, underground boxing. That's another thing. Like,
and the underground boxing will take place inside the bar. Does that sound like it makes sense? Inside the bar.
Well, the police are going to show up, so they're fighting to the death, right? Inside a bar.
No. Right now, they're not fighting to the death. Not at all. They haven't found the man. No, they're on their way, and they're just doing fights on. Yeah, it's going to be like $50. They're going to bet $50 he can beat him.
All right. Well, that's okay. I mean, if it's to the death, I would think it would be kind of a murder bar.
Yeah, that is a little far. Isn't that gilding the lily to the death? Come on. We knew it was.
Yeah. Oh, was it a Tarantino movie? Django Unchained.
Yeah.
He likes watching that in the parlor.
So right. The guy who wrote this was a bare knuckle boxer in Peru. He was a movie producer. He also made Known for a Fighting Man in 2014 and a dark, he did fight films. Bare knuckle boxer in Peru, and he brought that experience to writing this. He's got 24 director credits, 15 actor credits, 46 producer credits.
You know, it wasn't easy for him to write this because his knuckles hurt so much, it's hard for him to type.
So,
ow, bare knuckle, the world inside the world of bare knuckle, ow, knuckle, ow.
Ow,
ow. Yeah.
So the writer, the director, the producer, the people who all made this happen, they also made this one called Busted Up. And the guy's name was Earl Bird. It's the same name, same character. That was 1986. When they released this movie to video, it was also called – here it is. It was called – in Australia, it was called Busted Up 2, even though it's not really a sequel. The guy's got the same name.
And now, he's a bare-knuckle fighter.
Look, they crashed right through the wall, and now we're going to have the rest of the fight outside in broad daylight in the pig. Look at that pig.
Oh, look at pigs there. So they fell into hay, which is good. Coincidentally, that's great. They would have hurt otherwise. And then now they're mud wrestling, which is great because otherwise it would hurt.
Right, because the mud is softer, and the pig is great production value. We didn't see a horse when they had the hay.
Well, the producer is actually that's the producer's. slept with the producer.
I porked him.
That's right. Yeah. Get up out of the pigsty. That's for pigs. Show some respect to the pig.
Now, the guy who directed this only has 18 director credits, but he's got helping the city with gambling. So they're going to give his